I can remember it felt like such a long time in the waiting before, kind of in between the space of when I knew that I was going to pursue my degree to become a therapist and when it actually happened. It was actually about 5 years in the waiting due to life and marriage and a lot of other things that kind of delayed the process. So to say the least, there was a lot of anticipation and the great excitement when I finally enrolled in my program to pursue counseling at Denver Seminary. And I was so excited, wasn't I, Logan? I had
like a kid on the first day of school.
Highlighters and my backpack already.
Get your lunchbox ready.
I think I was reading the material even before class started.
What
a
nerd.
Which definitely wasn't the case at the end of my program, right? Who reads their books before? But I couldn't get enough of it. I was so excited. I was like, this is how God's wired me. This is how he's created me. I cannot wait. And so I can remember the first class I had was basically a foundations class of counseling, how to be a therapist. And I was like, just tell me what I need to do. Like, I'm so excited to do the thing. And my professor, Dr. Wilson, broke us off into partners where we were going to practice these skills. Mm-hmm. And so the very first skill may surprise you as it surprised me. And so I remember getting in the room with my partner, and the very first thing that we were told to do was to just sit. So we were actually told just to focus on our posture and our presence in the room, almost uncomfortably so. I remember I had to sit like this.
Back straight?
Yes, and just become aware of this awkward position.
Yeah. Am I doing a good job?
Yes, you're doing a great, okay. Which my clients will probably laugh because I definitely don't sit like this
anymore.
But we're talking about listening today, and I'm so excited that Logan invited me in on this conversation, and I couldn't help but reflect back on my experience of becoming a therapist, and I do think there's something there, right, of our kind of posture and presence. So I kind of want to lead this conversation in the sense of what if our posture and presence is the beginning of listening, understanding, and loving those around us.
Mm. So there's obviously a reason she's up here, right? That's pretty good. is there any talkative people in the room? Can we raise our hands? Yeah, okay. I'm a recovering talker myself, okay? So you're in a safe space. So when Bob asked, hey, we know that listening has a huge piece of relationships.
So important, vital.
Right, and when Bob said, hey, Logan, you want to talk about listening? I was like, yes. I'm going to struggle. I'm getting better, but I wanted to kill it because you obviously were married. This series is not about marriage necessarily. It's about all of our relationships. And it's essential to listen in relationships like marriage, but also in our friendships, in our parenting, with our coworkers.
Yeah.
And I think as we even were talking with people in the hall before this going, we're bad at listening. Most
yes.
people aren't naturally wired to it. Or if you even would say you've grown so much in your skill of how to learn.
Right.
And a part of that is starting with our posture and a presence.
Yes. And by all means, I can grow at it too.
Yes. Yes.
And we just want to preface this conversation on listening in the sense of this is not just listening for information.
Right.
You guys all know that. Logan and I, it's so funny in our marriage, we go, hey, new information, by the way. It's very like detailed oriented. Mm-hmm. This kind of listening we're going to talk about this morning is a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, because if we think if God's going to, the story is, or the series is called Restoring Us. If God's going to begin that work of restoring our relationships, we got to get better at listening.
Yes.
Right? So there's times to say, hey, we're out of milk. Can you bring some home? Like that's, I don't need to be like, I see you. I know what you mean. That's empathy. No, like there's time for details. There's time just to have some dialogue or talk about the game. But that's not where conflict is, right? That's not
yes.
what Bob was talking about, conflict or frustration or those kind of things. We need to learn how to listen when these people are really being vulnerable or opening ourselves up. Because that's where they either come to see you or they come to see me
right.
when things, because we hear that all the time, well, they're not listening, right? My friend,
yes.
my friends don't get me. My kids, they don't listen to me anymore. And so
right.
there's something where we hear that from every generation. Yes. In every type of relationship.
Because on the opposite side of that, I think we can all agree what it feels like to be loved and understood and seen and cared for through when someone does do listening really well. Yeah. That's the type of listening we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. So you've talked about posture.
Yes.
Kayla, let's, and we don't mean just physical posture.
Yes,
we mean like our posture of our hearts
that.
And what that looks like. So this is kind of like a test for us of just say, hey, what is my posture? And we're going to go through a quick list, things that we've kind of experienced ourselves. And this might be the practical piece, and we'll talk about where this is biblically right after this. But you may not catch yourself in the moment. Like, this is okay. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, I'm not listening right now. And if you do, which you can also, I know I caught myself this week as we're talking about this, I'm like, I'm not listening very good.
You guys, this was so helpful for us.
Yes, it was.
To just be
and
curious
revealing.
Of like, oh, Logan, what was that? Why didn't you listen? Yeah. Wait a minute. And on my end as well, of
totally.
Like, ooh, what got in the way of that? So this list that we're going to go into may be in hindsight. It may be after the fact where you feel like something, there was a disconnect, right?
Yep.
Where someone didn't feel seen, heard, or understood. So let's get into it. So let's check our posture that goes far beyond just our physical posture.
Yep. So the first one is this, am I fully present or distracted?
Yeah.
Pretty clear cut right there, right?
Yes. I mean, this goes as far as your phone, my watch, when it goes off with people, I feel like that's such a distraction that shows that I'm not being fully present to them. Mm-hmm. Could you name some more, Logan?
I think even like maybe not have the heart-to-heart deep felt conversation like in a big crowded room, right? Like
right.
if you're with a group of people, with your friends at a restaurant, it may not be the best time, like if a lot of background noise and stuff like that. Like, so am I just distracted by what's going on? Maybe a really hard day. Like, I remember when you first was a therapist coming home and I would just be so excited to talk to you and I didn't give you space. You'd be like, hey, I just heard like the worst things people could do to each other for like 7 hours. Can you give me like a few minutes? I'm like, yes, I can. But I wasn't like, I was just like thinking you were distracted and being unkind to you in that moment. But I think how often we do that to one another where we just think, oh, I don't have their attention, but maybe they just had a hard day. Maybe they had a lot going on and maybe they just need a little time.
Yeah. And again, we can't control all of these, but the things that we can control, such as hectic days or phones, like let's do our best to kind of be present in that way.
Yeah.
So the next one is, am I loving or judging? The way that I kind of see this one is pretty simple, because if I'm immediately judging that person, I'm definitely not listening.
Right.
So kind of just being open to the sense of, man, is my posture loving of this person or am I just judging? And because as soon as we judge, we're definitely not listening.
Right. And a good way to just test if you're judging something is just like, well, that's stupid. I can turn my brain off now. Right. Like if I just don't agree with something someone's saying, then I might just think, oh, well, I don't have to listen to the rest of it, right? I just tune them out, and that's not really listening. And if, as believers, if we actually believe everybody in this room and online is an image bearer, that they have value because God said so, we don't get to deem people's value. That's God who's done that, right? That's what Scripture says. Then I don't get to just tune someone out if I don't like what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll talk more about what we do with that, but we can still be loving towards them.
And I like that you said, Logan, it can happen in it. Instant, right? Of like, as soon as I feel that little bit of judgment creep up in me, for whatever reason, various reasons, it's like all of a sudden it's out. Mm-hmm. Like I am not listening.
Yeah.
And that goes really well into our next one, which is, am I open or closed to being changed? Again, if Logan says, if we're all image bearers, right? That means we all have inherent worth inside of us given to us by God, right? And if I'm not seeing that in another person, mm-hmm. I'm kind of not being open to being changed by them. If there's just one thing I could potentially be curious about in them or grow from our conversation versus like, I'm just closed off. I don't need to hear it.
Yep.
I've heard this before. Whatever it is that closes us off. Again, that builds that wall that shows that we're not in a posture position to listen or hear.
Yeah. Someone said to me a long time ago, and I wish I could give them credit, but I just remember them saying, try to find 1% of what they're saying to be true, right? Give someone the benefit of the doubt. Is there 1% of something I heard that is maybe I can take away? And that's kind of helped me because I'm like, this is a terrible conversation. I don't agree with any of this, but like, okay, but 1% of this I can get behind, you know? And it gives me, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I love that.
What about the next one? I say this one because this is me. I'm a fixer. Am I trying to fix or offer solutions?
Yes. Which there is a time and space for that, right? And I think Logan and I, in our relationships, there's been time where I have to like communicate, like, no, Logan, I need you to fix this right now. Yeah. Like, actually, it would be so helpful if you offered solutions. On the opposite end of that, is it maybe, no, I just need you to feel this.
Right.
So the kind of, can do you need to feel it or fix it? That can go such a long way. Because again, there's a space for solutions that's not inherently wrong
right.
by any means. But are we going quick to that because we're uncomfortable?
Right, right. I mean, we've probably had some, you can think of you're like a roommate situation and you're like, you go through a breakup and maybe in that moment you don't need to be said, well, hey, there's more fish in the sea. You know, it's like, thanks. Awesome. Thank you for that. You know, or like you don't make the team or whatever it might be. And you're like, well, did you, there's always next year, you know, like you just say these things and they almost come out of us so quickly
yeah.
as opposed to just kind of sitting with somebody, which I think kind of leads to that next one of, am I uncomfortable with empathy or what they're saying?
Right.
Right. Cause sometimes we just don't like, I get uncomfortable with like, oh, there's tears. I don't know what to do with this. Right. And as Christians, sometimes we're really bad at this, right? Because yeah. we want to like throw some Jesus on it. Like we want to like
spiritual band-aid
yeah, we're
of
like,
sorts to just, a deep wound.
Yes.
That it's like, again, yes, that's true. I feel like I've heard them
yes.
towards me, towards others. And it's like, is that true about God? Absolutely. But in this moment, I actually need you to kind of mourn and grieve and be yeah. with me in the hard
yep.
versus like, oh,
yep. like just pray just, about it. Oh. And you're like, yes, I know to pray about it. Thank you. That's very
yes.
helpful. But also maybe this moment, like I don't need to hear that 10 seconds after I told you the deepest thing I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe just hold that a little bit. And we're going to see that is scriptural, right? I think we're just arguing for maybe a little bit better
yes.
way than just a Jesus Band-Aid, as
right.
you said.
No yeah. Jesus Band-Aids yeah. here. But I see that all the time of like our own uncomfortability, mm-hmm. again, with what's being talked about. And just almost like I feel like people kind of can go about it of like, I'm so fearful I'm going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And in that sense, maybe it's like, okay, then maybe you don't have to say anything at all. Maybe that's all part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And lastly, another one I'm guilty of is it easier for me just to get to the next thing I need to say, right? Kayla could be saying something, or maybe you're with a colleague and it brings up that story or something in your mind and you think, this is so relevant. And maybe it's not, you know? Like maybe they don't need to hear about that one time in college, how this totally applies. Because it may just not. It just may not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is not about perfection. We are not perfect at listening at all. It's just, again, being able to start this conversation of being curious and aware of your posture and your presence when it comes to listening. Because it, in fact, it kind of can translate to our relation. It does translate to our relationships
yes.
and how we're coming across. So again, it's just being curious of like, what's kind of coming up in me, and it probably won't get any more practical than this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can kind of look at that and maybe even think about some of the interactions you've had this week, you've had chances to listen to your spouse, your neighbor, your colleague, someone you didn't agree with, a peer, a teacher, whatever it might be. And you can maybe even look at this list and be like, ooh, I think if we're all being honest, everybody in this room could be like, I got some work to do. I got some areas I could get better at this. Pete Scazzaro, author and pastor, said this way, the state that you're in is the state that you're giving others, right? So if I am distracted, hurried, not having time, just want to fix things really quick because I need to move on to the next thing, again, it's not about perfection, but I'm giving that to someone else. And again, that probably leads to us not feeling very heard,
right.
loved, seen, or,
right.
or listened to at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as Logan and I were diving into this, we want to just point to Jesus as our ultimate example. And it was kind of tricky to pick just one verse because it was kind of a beautiful thing to look at Jesus's posture and his presence when it came to listening to those around him. And so it's not just one verse, it's really all of the gospel that you see this in him. But let's go ahead and talk about like
yeah.
Jesus's pace that he sets for us to follow as an example for listening and being aware of those around us.
Yeah. Yeah. First thing is just think about the stories you heard in Sunday school or in your own Bible reading plan this year. Did you remember reading a verse where it said Jesus was running from town to town? Do you remember that passage? I'll wait because you won't find it, right? It seems like sometimes even maybe Jesus is even maybe at batted directions for some reason. He's always going across a lake, back across a lake. It's like
bad GPS.
Did he miss something? Like I don't know. But no, Jesus is going to and fro and back, mm-hmm. and he's walking through towns. He's talking to people.
He's eating with people. I love that we always see in
Scripture. There's always food.
There's a great quote of like Jesus was always on the way to a meal or leaving a meal or having a meal.
That's my kind of guy.
A meal takes time, right?
There's no fast food here.
There's no fast food, Jesus.
He's always walking. He's taking time with people. There's people around him. There's a pace to Jesus's life that leads, it's part of his posture, right? These interactions, the healings, the miracles, the teaching, they happen sometimes when we least expect it. And there's just like, you used the word yesterday, margin. There's margin for this to happen. And that doesn't happen. We have to check our pace. So I'd ask you, if you're like, I'm a bad listener, what's your pace like? Are you just cramming your day where it's like, kid, tell me, that's wonderful, honey. And you're just telling them at dinner. Or, you know, you have so many, I think even how much friends, like we try to hold all of our friendships and we're like, oh, you know, Facebook tells me I have 3,000 friends, and I'm supposed to know all their feelings and be everything to them.
We can't.
That's impossible. That's impossible, right? And secondly, is that it leads into that as being unhurried.
Right.
And we were thinking about a couple passages that led to that, but the first was in Mark 5. Caleb, would you like to read that?
Yeah, let's do it. So this is in Mark 5, 30 through 34. And it says, at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask who touched me. I just want to pause there. The disciples were like, probably all of us, in the sense of they were like, Jesus, what do you mean? Like, we got to keep going.
Yeah, he's on the way to emergency, right? There's a miracle that needs to be done.
Yes, and so you can already see the pace of the disciples were much quicker of like, Jesus, we got to go. Like, we don't have time for this. And I love in verse 32, it says, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.
Yeah.
I love this because I think about what if Jesus was in a crowd just like just kind of in this space with us today.
Mm-hmm.
And just everybody who would want to touch him or kind of reach out to him and how chaotic that would have been. And yet Jesus, in the midst of all of that, was so aware. He took the time and it was in his posture, his presence, that he noticed the woman who risked out to touch him.
Yeah.
And we know she had been bleeding for a while. She was so desperate to be seen. And Jesus takes the time to see her.
Right. He doesn't see her, right? He feels the power leave him.
Yeah.
It says, maybe touches his garment. But we don't know. Like, he doesn't know. So he keeps looking. And you can almost imagine, like, the crowd's pushing him still. But he's still looking like, what's going on? There was someone that touched me. And I'm going to stop and look. Even though he's got busy, important stuff to do.
Yeah.
Right? And I think so often when I don't listen to whether you or our boys or if my friends or my colleagues, it's because I'm like, well, I got important things to do.
Mm.
And that's not Jesus. Like, I can say, well, I got important Jesus stuff to do. Well, no. Like, I still have to have the time to be unhurried to listen. It's similar to this in Luke 19. This is a famous passage. Zacchaeus, right? They're probably singing about him in base camp right now, the wee little man. But this is in verse 3, right? He says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd.
Mm.
And that's not just because we're tall that we're picking on him, sorry. But so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And I just think about this story, Caleb. It's interesting because yes, he's small in stature, so it would have been easy to overlook him, but also because of who he was. Now, we know he's a tax collector. He's looked down upon.
Yeah.
No one wanted to give him the time of day.
Right.
He was the kind of person you would think, I have no reason to listen to him.
Mm.
But yet Jesus looks up, sees him, and it says he came to that spot. So there was some spot that Jesus knew. Again, on the midst of his journey and ministry, he sees the person that no one wants to give time to.
Mm.
And he tells him, hey, come down here. I want to spend some time with you.
Oh, I love that he invites himself over.
Yeah. For another meal.
I love that.
Like, hey, can you feed me? Let's go eat.
hey, you don't think you're seen.
Right.
Right? And I want to come over to your house to eat.
Yeah.
Like that kind of being seen and heard and listened to, that kind of margin to see him.
And it's interesting because he's on his way to Jerusalem. Like this is later in Jesus' ministry. Like he's about to go to the cross. He's about to enter Jerusalem later in this chapter. And yet before that, before, like if there's anything else, you'd be like, sorry, got to go to the cross for everyone's sin
like,
right
what's
now.
More important
like what's
than
more
that?
Important than that? He takes time to hang out with the guy that no one likes
yeah.
and no one sees.
Yeah.
And yet says that salvation has come to your house. Like there's a life-changing moment. And yes, we see some of Jesus' words, but we also see him just, it's like you said, it's our posture, it's our time, it's our presence, it's lean in for understanding. Because everybody had, they thought they had Zacchaeus figured out, right? They thought, okay, I know who he is. He's beyond help. Jesus says otherwise.
There's no way.
No way. It's not him.
I love this quote by David Augustburger. It's from Caring Enough to Hear. It says, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. When I want to genuinely love someone, the best gift I can give is to listen authentically. I love this idea of actually listening, being tied to love. Because again, we all know what that feels like to be heard and seen and therefore loved. But also, I love this idea that it's a gift. Like, I feel like it takes, like, I think we all agreed we can do better at listening. And yet, it is such a gift to others. And something that I've recognized how God's hardwired in me to be a good listener is actually a gift to those around me. And I think you all are fully capable of that as well.
Yeah, I think we can either say, well, I'm not wired that way.
Right.
And that's really, I think it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out for me. I can be like, well, sorry, I just have a hard time paying attention. But no, that's not the case. Because you know, you talked about David, but King David said this way in Proverbs 18. He says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. To answer before listening, that is folly and that is shame.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting in this room, you're like, I have a hard time doing this. The Bible would call us we're foolish if we just act like we don't want to lean in for understanding. And I don't think anybody in this room or online wants to be a fool. You know, I don't want to be a fool. So I need the work of God to help me. I need a miracle, just like we've talked about. I need God to help me become a better listener or to fine tune that skill that maybe you're wired with.
Right.
But something that came up for us even as we're doing this is like even our definition of listening sometimes can be skewed.
Yes.
Right? Like it's sometimes we have, when I hear listening, I have maybe like a goal that comes out of it. Right? For me growing up, when I heard listening, it was like, listening means obedience. Like, listen to your father, right? Like, that's all that listening meant.
Right.
So it was tied to performance or obedience. And there's a time for that, right?
Absolutely. There's a time for that. It's not, that's not the case.
Not that case, yeah.
But also this idea that I see a ton is that listening is agreeing. I kind of like with families that come in, there's a huge disconnect of mom and dad aren't feeling seen and heard. The teenager or my client isn't feeling seen or heard or loved. Yeah. And we kind of have to run through what is our running definitioning actually of listening. And to each I say, is it just that they do what you want them to do? Or is it that for the teenager, like, is it just that you get what you want?
Right.
Because listening is so much more than that in the sense of I believe that it has to be out of this relational connection that we can kind of adhere to versus just agreeing. Like, I do think it is possible. I know this feels like, is it? It is possible to both listen but not agree. I think we can do that. And I think we can all do a much better job at it too. But it is possible that listening is not just agreeing.
Right. Right. There might be times you do agree with somebody. But for parents in the room, hey, when I feel that tension, like, well, I don't, if I listen too much when my kids say that, it's almost like I'm encouraging that behavior. No, we're not saying that. We're not saying like we don't have to agree with the behavior or their action, or teenagers in the room or young adults in the room who you're like, well, if you think, well, listening means I get what I want. That's not listening. That's getting what you want, right? Let's be clear. Your parents may be listening to you and maybe still telling you no. That's okay. Just as much, and like parents, you're allowed to say no. Or in healthy relationships, you're allowed to have boundaries. It doesn't mean you're like, okay, I'll just be trampled over and okay, I just need to listen to them and love them. No, we don't have to necessarily agree,
right.
But I can still give you the gift of trying to understand you, listen to you, and we still may have different beliefs or understanding of stuff.
Yes.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
So what's a better definition?
Yeah. So kind of what I found that kind of sums up all of this is this idea of attunement. And that may be a new word for you this morning. And it's kind of a buzzword in kind of the mental, emotional world. But from Dr. Dan Siegel, who is he is kind of leading in this field right now. He kind of says attunement is this. It's like when we attune with others, we allow our internal state to shift, to come to resonate with the inner world of another. Mm. This renaissance is at the heart of the important sense of feeling felt that emerges in close relationships. He goes on to say children need attunement to feel secure and to develop well. Mm-hmm. And then throughout our lives, we also need attunement to feel close and connected. I love that because it starts in infancy. It starts with baby Huck, who before he has words or language, I'm able to attune to what he needs. And again, it's not as he learns and grows and develops, it may not be giving him what he needs all the time, but knowing that I know what's best for him, mm-hmm. right? And I love that this goes on of like, we all need that to grow and to develop. And that doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. Like we all need attunement in our relationships and in our adult relationships even now.
Right. It's something that could be happening at childhood, but it goes on with us through our life. You're saying yeah. like even that the lack of being heard or understood or listened or being attuned to is that word in the yes. in the counseling world. But
yeah.
but it has, there's actually some ripple effects of this, right? Because it could be end up, you and I have both had people in our, like with me as a pastor or you as a therapist. And mm-hmm. it's like, man, some of this is because they've never felt known, loved, connected. And it's bleeding into all their types of relationships, whether right. that be parent, peer, romantic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the opposite of attunement, right? As we're not attuned, we're not seen, we're not loved, we're not listened to, we're disconnected, we're isolated, we're angry, right?
Sounds like the world right now.
We feel wronged or not heard or not seen. And I kind of summed up attunement as it sums up our posture and our presence when it comes to listening. And it says, I may not agree with you, but it will always be, I see you. Mm. It may not always be, I'm going to give you what you want, but it'll always be, I can offer you presence in your time and need. Mm-hmm. And attunement's not just a word in my field. I see attunement in a biblical sense as well. It through the scriptures we just read, right? Yeah. Jesus being attuned to the people around him.
Right.
And I also see it in Romans 12:15 when it says, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what better story to summarize this idea of attunement than in John 11, when Jesus mourns with Mary and Martha before he raises Lazarus.
Yeah.
So we know that Jesus knows he's about to raise him from the dead. He knows that the miracle's coming, mm-hmm. and yet he weeps with them. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say stop crying because I'm about to raise him from the dead,
right? He still speaks truth to him, right?
He speaks truth of like, you will see him again.
Yes.
But then he mourns with them, right? He doesn't rejoice before it was time, right? He mourns with them. And again, he doesn't say, I'm just going to fix this, Mary and Martha. Just wait. I'm going to offer the solution.
Right.
No, far from that. He's attuned with them in the sense of, no, I'm going to mourn with you. And Jesus weeps.
Yeah. Even in the passage, we don't have on the screen today, but just if you look at that story in John 11, it's interesting. It's 44 verses long, this interaction. And in a better summary, I think it's like, Jesus gets over, like, get over it. I'm going to go heal him. We'll be fine, right? Like, that's a very abridged. That's not listening. But Jesus, for the first 16 verses, it talks about his death and the emotions behind it. Then verses 17 through 37 are all about how he's comforting them. There's 20 verses of this dialogue of how he's comforting them on the way to the miracle that he knows he's going to do. And then we have this interaction where he actually does raise him up. And you were kind of sharing of like, mm-hmm. isn't that interesting that Jesus, we have the story of Jesus and it's not a quick story.
It shows it matters
clearly. That we listen and we sit with people and he gives them answers, but it's also, it seems like it's more about how he's walking with these people he loved. Even in verse, I think it's in verse 5, it says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It makes it really clear that he loves all three of them, right? And so he's doing what's best for all three of them. He will make things right, and that's what he does with our relationships.
Yeah.
And he uses us to do that, but he gives us a model to just maybe sit with people.
Yeah, I had this thought this week as we were prepping, like, I don't think Mary and Martha would have understood the full extent of Jesus's love and compassion and care had he rushed to rejoicing.
Yeah.
Or had he been dismissing or judging of like, how dare you cry? Right. Or far worse, if Jesus was even distracted or absent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they wouldn't have felt loved and seen and attuned to by Jesus.
And yet these are the two women that everybody else leaves, but they're there with him at the cross, right? They're there with him at the empty tomb. Like these are women who, a lot of people had a lot of feelings about Jesus and they got scared, but there was something about being felt, known, and loved and understood. But that these women, they seem to be very loyal to Jesus all the time. Like they're not willing to be embarrassed to be seen by him, and they always have their faith in him. So it must have made an impact, is another way to say it.
I go back to this idea of what I said in that quote of like, attunement is feeling felt and it's necessary for growth in our lives to develop well.
Right.
And kind of where we're going to land the plane today is like, I'm not sure if we can give this gift of listening. As we said, it's a gift of listening. It's a gift of love, right? Mm-hmm. If we haven't first received it ourselves.
Right, Bob made a connection, I think, in the week one, where just saying, you know, there, we often see our relationship with God is kind of, at least it's on parallel tracks with our relationship with people, right? If we have rocky relationships or our human relationships are in disorder or we don't know how to do them well, then often we kind of bring that in with God, one way or the other, maybe consciously or unconsciously, or maybe the way we treat people with God, or we think he treats us.
Mm-hmm.
And even what was helpful for us this week was you asked me a question of like, well, Logan, what would it be like if God was sitting with you? You know, and I hadn't really thought about that. Like, what would that be like? And what was he? But it was so helpful to me realize that his posture and his presence, it made me want to follow him more. It made me want to love him more.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what we want to land today, is talking about God's posture with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you asked me a good question too, of like, Kayla, you often are like, how do you do it? Like, how do you sit with people? And I get that a ton. And I think even in prepping this, I noticed that me and my ability, again, I'm not perfect by any means, but my ability to sit with people to the extent that I'm able to only comes through me having sat with God and recognizing how he listens to me, how he attunes himself to me. Mm. And out of that posture, that his presence with me, I kind of can give it as a gift to others because I know that's what he does for me.
Right, right. And so that's what we want to end today with, is a chance just to, because I know, I believe this as I was prepping this week and we were saying, man, there's a reality that some people in this room, maybe they haven't been listened to very well.
Yeah.
Or they feel like, maybe you in this room, you feel like, man, God just hasn't heard me. And we even sang that song about, a lament song about, God, you didn't answer the prayer like I thought you would. You didn't come and speak fast enough. And there's moments where we feel like that, but And we need God's answers. We need his promises. And those are wonderful and good. But often it's helpful to understand, like, God sits with us.
Hmm.
What he did for Mary and Martha is good. And he does it, he does it for us.
And that's the same God. Yes. That's the same Jesus who does that with us today, even though this is centuries ago.
Yes.
For us to have this right understanding of who he is and that he does that with us so that we can do that for the sake of others.
Yeah. Yeah. So in order for us to listen to others, we first have to listen to God. And not just, again, listening to just obey him. And there's a time to do that, but also his presence and his posture.
Yeah, towards us.
Towards us, yeah. How he is with us. And so that's how we're going to end today. And just like you mentioned, it might be uncomfortable. We're not going to do anything weird. Our rule with youth ministry is always don't make it weird. You know that. We're not going to make it weird.
No.
But just a chance to be like, just reflect and sit and think about what it would be like for God that he is walking with you right now with your season. He is listening to you.
Yeah.
Prayers spoken or unspoken.
Yeah.
He hears them.
Yeah. It may be, there may be some of you that were just as eager as I was.
Yeah.
Right? Going into my degree, and it may feel anticlimactic that potentially what is, like, maybe it is just this simple of I'm just sitting and being in his presence.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you. So I'm going to lead us in kind of like this reflective prayer. I don't think anything I'm going to say is magical by any means, but honestly, it's just a gift for you to receive, because I really, really thought that this was important, that if we're to be great listeners to those around us, we first have to experience that in our relationship with God, do we not? So, all right.
You ready to do it?
Amen. Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's great.
Okay. So wherever you are, I just want you to get comfortable. I just ask for you to create space just with you and God. Mm. Whether you're chaotic or stressed, just start to notice what may be getting in the way of you being with Jesus. I just want you to take this time to notice his presence and his posture towards you. That he's not far, that he's not angry, that he's not shaming you. I want you to notice a Jesus who sits with you. And perhaps there's something you'd like to say to him. Maybe you just notice the look on his face, that he's loving and compassionate, that he takes time to see you, that he attunes to you and your needs. We're just going to go through and put ourselves in the scriptures that we read today. So Lord, I put myself in the scripture of Mark 5, of the woman who was so desperate for healing that she risked being seen by you. Mm-hmm. God, those in this room that are desperate to be seen and healed, that they would risk reaching out to touch you, God. I pray that you would see their efforts to move towards you, God, as you're moving towards them. Father, let them be seen by you, that you take notice of their reaching, that you see them and you attend to them. God, I also think of Zacchaeus, who was short in stature and went the distance to climb a tree, God. Lord, I pray for those who feel small and insignificant, whether that's in self-esteem or self-worth. God, I think of all those who feel inadequate, or even if something disqualifies us. Lord, attune yourself to them. Lord, let them see you looking at them and inviting yourself over to fill those spaces where we feel small. Mm. God, I also think about all those who mourn in this room, like Mary and Martha. God, we all have grievances, both big and small, God, whether that's a true loss or maybe it's just a loss of expectation or reality of what we thought life would look like, God. You see all of these grievances. God, you know how the miracle is going to come and what it will look like, yet you don't rush to rejoicing before mourning with us. Let my friends who are mourning receive the gift that you are grieving with them and are able to withstand the heavy burdens of grief they carry. God, you are our model for listening, and we must have a right understanding of who you are so that we can listen well to those around us. Lord, you attune yourself to us so that we may do the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.